welcome to Bare Naked Politics, the podcast for people who don't usually like politics podcasts, but this one is different because you don't need to be some sort of expert to keep up. Instead, I just strip back all the headlines, I give you the context, I make everything really simple and easy for you to understand. I'm Julia Bell, and today, I wasn't actually planning on recording an episode, but then one of the most mental stories I've ever seen broke all over international news, and I couldn't not talk you through it. And that story, of course, is about the full-length phone call between Donald Trump and the Secretary of State for Georgia, Brad Raffensperger, and all of their teams. There was actually a lot of people on the call. And the tape of the call has been published in full by the Washington Post. It's like an hour and 2 minutes long, and you can just listen to the whole thing. You feel like you shouldn't be able to listen to it. It just doesn't feel like this should be public knowledge, the kind of things that are exchanged here, because my God, is it full of terrifying, incriminating, gobsmackingly undemocratic things like this.
I just want to find 11,780 votes, which is one more than we have. Brad, what are we going to do? We won the election, and it's not fair to take it away from us like this. And it's going to be very costly in many ways. And I think you have to say that you're going to reexamine it, and you can reexamine it, but reexamine it with people that want to find answers, not people that don't want to find answers.
See, that's just not the kind of thing that you feel you should be able to hear. Trump saying, I just want to find 11,780 votes. And that is referring to the fact that in the election in November, Trump lost the state of Georgia to Joe Biden by 11,779 votes. So he just wants to find, you know, he just wants to find wherever he can 11,780 votes. Doesn't matter from where. Just matters that he finds them so that he can say that he won that state. I feel like I'm in shock. I've listened to this call now twice through. I cannot recommend enough you doing so. And I'll put the link to it in the episode description if you like, so that you can listen to it, because it's a moment in history. Let me tell you that. So I just want to run through it, make sense of it. If that's even possible. I think a lot of it is just beyond logic. And I'll get you squared away with why this is such a big deal. So as always, make sure you subscribe to the podcast or click follow if you're listening on Spotify. And let's get into one of the biggest scandals in American political history, shall we? Okay, so on Monday the 4th of January, at least London time, a journalist at the Washington Post by the name of Amy Gardner released this story, and the title was, let me read it to you, it's a bloody historic article. It's called, "An Extraordinary Hour-Long Call, Trump Pressures Georgia Secretary of State to Recalculate the Vote in His Favour." That's the name of the headline. And embedded within that story was a clip. It was about 4 minutes long, or 4.5 minutes long, that had snippets of the call. And it all kind of, well, it sounded dreadful on the part of the president. So, for example, it included this.
We have won this election in Georgia based on all of this. And there's nothing wrong with saying that, Brad. You know, I mean, the people of Georgia are angry. And these numbers are going to be repeated on Monday night, along with others that we're going to have by that time, which are much more substantial even. And the people of Georgia are angry. The people of the country are angry. And there's nothing wrong with saying that, you know, that you've recalculated.
So that was Trump saying to Brad Raffensperger, just find the votes I need to overturn Biden's win and then come out and say I won. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing massively illegal about doing that. Well, his wording was, there's nothing wrong with saying you've recalculated. Which in theory, he's right. If you count a vote wrong and then you oversee a vote count again and you get a different result, there is nothing wrong with coming out and saying you've recalculated. But just deciding to come out with a different result is indeed desperately illegal. So I think Trump was being slightly misleading there. But anyway, that story comes out in the Washington Post and it has the whole world in shock. But people in Trump's camp came out and said, well, it's really easy to make Trump look bad if you only release a heavily cut up, edited set of clips which are completely out of context, why not release the whole thing? Because then you'll understand where we're coming from. So, for example, Jason Miller, a prominent Trump campaign advisor, he tweeted, this is a quote, "They published 4 minutes and 31 seconds. Where's the other 35 minutes? At Georgia Secretary of State Raffensperger is a political hack who doesn't care about election integrity, nor does he care about telling the entire story. Release the full tape!" Exclamation mark. So that's what Miller tweeted, one of Trump's campaign advisors. And then Washington Post called his bluff. Not long after that, they went, okay, let's go. Why don't you have the whole thing? And when it all came out, the hour and, you know, 2 minute phone call, it really did not help Trump's case. Adding context, if anything, hurt him more and frankly made him look worse. But anyway, who was on the call and what was said? Let's get a bit more specific. So I mentioned the key people here are Donald Trump, the president of the United States, but not for very long because Biden will be in on the 20th of January. He was on it with Brad Raffensperger, the Secretary of State for Georgia, an elected politician. Now, Raffensperger is the person that Trump has the biggest beef with, on this call at least. Trump's got beef with a lot of people, but in this scenario, he's up against Raffensperger. And that's because it was his job to oversee the vote count in Georgia. The Georgian Secretary of State overlooks the vote count. And basically, Trump is convinced that Raffensperger is hiding something from Trump or conspiring against him in order to help the Democrats cheat. And, you know, he was semi-responsible for giving Biden the win in Georgia. The weird thing about this, though, is that Raffensperger is a Republican. So he's from the same party as Trump. And it's not like he's one of these Republicans, these sort of rare breeds that has spoken out against Trump and has rebelled against him before this. No way. Raffensperger voted for Trump in November and championed him publicly. And he even said when Trump lost the election that he was sad about that. He didn't want Trump to lose. So it's one thing for Trump to think that the Democrats are trying to cheat him. I think he's always thought that. But to now be convinced that a Republican who's only ever supported you publicly and privately is, you know, conspiring with the opposition party to cheat you out of an election. The level of paranoia that Trump is exhibiting here is out of control. It must actually genuinely be exhausting for him. But that was essentially Trump's objective on this call. It was to get Raffensperger to acknowledge that some sort of foul play had happened. Trump has spent every day since the election result in November scavenging for evidence, for any evidence that this result was a sham. And therefore, a lot of his attention has been focused on Georgia because it was tight, 11,779 votes. That's not a huge amount. And he really did think he was going to win Georgia. So the fact that Biden won it just made him, I don't know, it made his ears prick up and it made him feel very cynical about Georgia and the way that they ran the vote. So on the call, I mean, he mentions a load of things that he thinks went wrong, and he mentions a load of things that he thinks were foul play. But he says, for example, that he's convinced dead people were voting for Biden in Georgia. He also mentions that Trump votes were being dumped while extra Biden votes were being forged and signatures were being forged. I mean, the whole thing is essentially a full hour of Trump throwing conspiracies and conspiracy theories at Raffensperger in the hope that any of them would stick. So his point was, look, we actually won Georgia by hundreds of thousands of votes, maybe even 500,000 votes. But I don't need that. I just need you to find 11,780 and then I can beat Biden's score.
I don't know. Look, Brad, I have to find 12,000 votes and I have them times a lot. And therefore, I won the state. And if you check with Fulton County, you'll have hundreds of thousands because they dumped ballots into Fulton County and the other county next to it. So what are we going to do here, folks? I only need 11,000 votes. Fellas, I need 11,000 votes. Give me a break. You know, we have that in spades already.
So there you go. I think you're starting to get a vibe for the whole call. I've played you two or three bits of it now. And I still think you should listen to the whole thing, but I think you're starting to get the idea that Trump was there with one agenda and one agenda only. And that was to convince, by whatever means possible, Raffensperger and his team that he won Georgia by thousands of votes, hundreds of thousands of votes. But all you need to do is find me 11,780. And then you just need to come out, declare to everyone that you cocked it up, and I'll leave you alone. That's all you need to do. Bit of a tall ask, but that was what he set out to do. And he did kind of make out the whole time like it was very simple and straightforward. And you could hear the sort of pain in Raffensperger's voice when he was saying, I don't know where you're getting these. In fact, let me just play it to you.
Well, Mr. President, the challenge that you have is the data you have is wrong.
So, yeah, just unfortunately, you're wrong, was Raffensperger's sentiment the whole time. Another person on the call who sounded just as in as much pain as Raffensperger was a man called Ryan Germany, who is a lawyer and he represents the Georgian Secretary of State office. So it's been his job to bat away all these lawsuits against the Georgia vote count. And I hadn't heard of Ryan Germany before this call, but he will go down in history because of it, mainly because of a particular bit of the call where Trump throws yet another conspiracy at them in the hope that it'll catch them out. He says that he's convinced that the voting machines, the Dominion voting machines, that's the name of the brand of the machine, that they'd been tampered with in some way. And Germany just didn't stand for it. Have a listen.
Now, do you think it's possible that they shredded ballots in Fulton County? Because that's what the rumor is. And also that Dominion took out machines. That Dominion is really moving fast to get rid of their machinery. Do you know anything about that? Because that's illegal.
This is Ryan Germany. No, Dominion has not moved any machinery out of Fulton County. We're having
Have they moved the inner parts of the machines and replaced them with other parts?
No.
You sure, Ryan?
I'm sure.
That bit of the call was probably, I mean, there's a lot of shocking stuff in there, but that bit shocked me the most. Just because there's something so unpresidential about it. He was dodging and sidestepping and throwing things at the wall completely blindly at this point. It was almost like he was desperately clinging on for anything. Have they moved the machines? Have they changed the machines? And then he said, are you sure? He just wanted to say, Trump, my hun, give it up. Now, you might be thinking, this is an incredibly biased podcast. What if Trump is on to something? How do we know for sure that something dodgy wasn't going on in Georgia? How do we know that Raffensperger isn't a crook who conspired with the Democrats? And these are questions that we ought to ask. You need to address every side of it. But let's just put that issue to bed right now, because while journalists have a responsibility to explore everything, what's happening here is that they are forced to go over and over something that has been put to bed many times. So they counted the votes on election night, but as you'll know, it went on for a while in Georgia. Biden won, so that was the initial result. But it was so close, you know, it was such a thin margin because it was literally a matter of a few thousand votes difference. So the law in Georgia says, right, we have to do a recount anyway, just because it was such a slim margin. So to be super safe, we'll automatically do a recount. Trump doesn't even need to demand one. So they did that, but that came back with virtually the same result. Biden won the state again. So it has been recounted. So really that issue was put to bed then. And then beyond that, the count has been done again. So this has been done three or four times. This has been an ongoing process. It couldn't be more certain that Biden won Georgia. But still, Trump, throughout the call, kept continually shedding doubt on his trust in the Georgia vote count system, particularly the machines, the ballot counting machines, these Dominion machines. And you got to a point where Raffensperger just had enough and he decided to yet again put this issue to bed.
We don't agree that you have won. I didn't agree about the 200,000 number that you mentioned. And I could go through that point by point. I don't believe that you're really questioning the Dominion machines, because we did a hand retally, a 100% retally of all the ballots, and compared that to what the machine said, and it came up with virtually the same result. Then we did the recount, and we got virtually the same result. So I guess we could probably take that off the table. I don't think there's an issue about that.
That clip is another one that's hard to believe because you've got a Republican Secretary of State telling a Republican president, please, Mr. President, believe me, we counted every vote by hand. You lost in Georgia. Even if the machines were all fraudulent and broken, which we know they aren't, but even if they were, we went through it again and guess what? You still lost. And kind of just despite all the best efforts of Raffensperger and Ryan Germany and that team of people on that side of the call, despite all their best efforts to convince Trump just to stop, it didn't come to anything. And after the call, you saw Trump and Raffensperger have a little scuffle on Twitter. Let me just pull up the tweets here so I can quote them exactly. Yeah, here they are. So after the phone call, Trump tweeted, this is the quote, I spoke to Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger yesterday about Fulton County, which is a county in Georgia, and the voter fraud in Georgia. He was unwilling or unable to answer questions such as the ballots under the table scam, ballot destruction, out-of-state voters, dead voters, and more. He has no clue. And then, as expected, underneath the tweet, you know how Twitter puts these little warnings on stuff that's fake? It says, it's very polite, it says, this claim about election fraud is disputed. You love to see it. So Twitter had that warning underneath Trump's tweet, and Raffensperger got involved. He replied a nice passag tweet saying, respectfully, President Trump, what you're saying is not true. So the line has been drawn in the sand, even though the call ended on quite a, I suppose, polite way. You know, they all said thank you for your time and blah, blah, blah. But then they both tweeted kind of beef tweets at each other afterwards. And do you want to know the worst thing about this and this whole fallout is that even if for some godforsaken reason, Raffensperger came out and said, you know what, fine, I'll just break the law. I'll announce Trump the winner, even though he wasn't. We've checked again and again the results. Biden's the winner. We did it by hand. But let's just lie and say Trump won it. Trump still wouldn't win the election. Georgia on its own isn't enough. Trump would need the Secretary of State in multiple other states to do the same thing and to commit voter fraud. So if it all hung in the balance, and Georgia was the only state that decided the whole thing, and if Trump could somehow reverse Georgia, then he would win the whole election, then still this behaviour would not be justifiable. But at least you would sort of understand Trump's utter, unwavering determination in this phone call. But it's not. Georgia isn't enough. It's only got 16 electoral college votes. That's way less than what Trump would have needed to win. So it's all rather confusing how Trump is so desperate to get Raffensperger to cave on this thing. Anyway, if you've listened to this podcast before, or if you've listened to an episode about American politics, then you'll know that for all things on this topic, I like to get my good friend Elliot, who is a journalist for an American outlet, but he is English. He's based here in the UK. I like to get him on to talk me through these things. So I jumped on a FaceTime with him earlier on, and he did not hold back at all. Hello, you.
Yeah.
So the Donald Trump Brad Raffensperger phone call, I know you listened to it all the way through because you were texting me throughout, mostly expletives. But what did you think?
How to phrase this diplomatically? It was one of the most clinically insane recordings of any world leader in the history of human civilization.
And that's saying a lot because we've had some wrong ones in the past.
Yeah, I mean, this is sort of makes even, you know, the pre-existing Trump administration scandals kind of pale into obscurity compared to this. I mean, this is more like a, less of a smoking gun, more like a smoking bazooka.
Can you just clear up this smoking gun? It's such a political jargon phrase. What does it mean?
Basically, the incontrovertible evidence of political corruption or wrongdoing.
Yeah. Oh, so like who done it? Oh, the person with the smoking gun.
Yeah.
Okay, I get it.
Except like the thing with Trump is he doesn't, you know, you don't really have to catch him in the act of the smoking gun. He'll just sort of come out and stand on his balcony with like an RPG and brag to everyone about why he's doing it.
Makes things easy. And yet it doesn't, because he seems immune to consequences. But let's debunk some sort of specific bits of it. Very soon into the call, Trump starts throwing numbers at Raffensperger and his team. Numbers of votes that Trump supposedly won in Georgia, but that weren't counted. And I just want to get your viewpoint on that. Let's listen to this clip.
We have at least two or three, anywhere from 250 to 300,000 ballots were dropped mysteriously into the rolls. Much of that had to do with Fulton County, which hasn't been checked. We think that if you check the signatures, a real check of the signatures going back in Fulton County, you'll find at least a couple of 100,000 of forged signatures.
So just in that bit alone, Trump is claiming a couple of 100,000 ballots had forged signatures. He talks about 50,000 or so people that turned up to vote and they were told that somebody had already voted under their name. And he's got it in his head that he won Georgia by like 500,000 votes. Where is he getting these numbers from?
So a lot of this is coming from the usual suspect far right fringe forums. There's a bit of a tendency with Trump when he kind of wheels out when he says that he's heard something, or you know, this is evidence. It's largely these kind of anecdotal social media posts that he will sort of take and run with and multiply by several thousand or tens of thousands in this case. And as I say, it's there isn't any evidence for it, or they would have produced it in court. And the administration has, you know, been to court 60 times around the country on election related suits. And any of the ones where they've even touched on alleging fraud have been thrown out. And the ones, for the vast majority, they've had to admit in court that they are not alleging fraud because, you know, under oath, you can't just make stuff up because you will perjure yourself. So if any of this stuff was genuine, they've had 9 weeks of going to court, you know, that have presented some of it as evidence in court. There isn't any evidence. It's largely just stuff that he is either finding via his own sleuthing or being presented by aides who are looking to humour him through these kind of far-right forums, which are largely just sort of disinformation cesspits.
Yeah, throughout disinformation cesspits. I love that. I saw a clip on CNN, which I'll play in a second, where Carl Bernstein, the investigative journalist who helped break the Watergate scandal back in the 70s involving Richard Nixon, he said these Trump tapes are a worse scandal than Watergate.
This is something far worse than occurred in Watergate. We have both a criminal president of the United States in Donald Trump and a subversive president of the United States at the same time in this one person. But more important, what we hear on this tape, this is the ultimate smoking gun tape. It is the tape with the evidence of what this president is willing to do to undermine the electoral system and illegally, improperly, and immorally try to instigate a coup in which he remains the president of the United States. And in any other presidency, this tape would be evidence enough to result in the impeachment of the president of the United States and really an immediate call by the members of Congress, including of his own party, that he resign immediately.
So that is astonishing. Watergate led to Nixon's resignation. For anyone who doesn't know, that was about Nixon, President Nixon and his team basically trying to cover up their involvement in breaking into the Democrat Party's National Committee headquarters, which were at the Watergate office building. That's how that scandal got its name. And it was a similar thing in that Nixon's guilt was kind of revealed in a series of these tapes, these phone calls. And the guy who unearthed that scandal or was involved in doing so is saying this Trump scandal thing is worse. Firstly, is it worse, in your opinion? And secondly, could this lead to Trump being impeached or having to step down, as was Nixon's fate at the time?
I think undoubtedly it is worse. You know, Watergate was the cover-up of a mission that was sort of essentially looking to dig up dirt on the opposition, and that's, you know, the biggest scandal in, you know, recent American political history. And yet here you have a president actively trying to strong arm a Secretary of State into essentially just making up votes to overthrow a legitimate election and subvert the will of the American people in a sort of, well, I mean, you can't really call it anything other than a coup. And it's not politically partisan to say that. You know, as you probably highlighted already, it's a Republican Secretary of State. It's Republican state officials that oversaw these elections, people that have actively gone out and voted for Trump, but they have a job to do, and they're receiving, you know, death threats for carrying it out the way they should and in line with the Constitution. So you actually, yeah, you've got a president just actively stopping at nothing to try and subvert the will of the people and essentially just trample roughshod over democracy and install himself for a second term, having been voted out. If this was happening, you know, somewhere in sub-Saharan Africa, we'd be, you know, I imagine describing it in very different terms.
Why are we not describing it in the right terms then? Why is Trump getting away with this?
I think the difference between Watergate and here is that, obviously, Nixon was... there were calls for his resignation from Republicans, and Republicans spoke out, and they were the key turning point in shifting opinion against him. He still had his loyalists, but most of, you know, the Republican Senate were willing to speak up and say that he needed to go, that this was, you know, unconstitutional, etc. And that is not the case now. Yeah, so I mean, the main difference is Watergate was put over the edge in terms of Nixon being held accountable by Republicans putting country over party. And at the moment, that's not going to be the case. It's such as the, like, tribalism. At the moment, he's just never really going to suffer the same fate, unfortunately.
But it's amazing that technically, I mean, would you call this illegal, what Trump's doing? Because I would. I would say it's illegal. He's trying to strong arm a Secretary of State into declaring a false result.
Yeah, so it's quite a few constitutional lawyers have come out in the last 24 hours and said that, yeah, this would be considered illegal at both a state and federal level.
Right. So why does it then still depend on politics as to whether Trump is convicted or at least removed from the White House? Because you're saying that the only reason that Trump isn't facing consequences, even just consequences, for this action is because he's still got pals in the Senate.
It's what this whole saga and everything that's come before it's kind of highlighted is the flaws in placing so much trust in good faith in the Constitution originally, and the fact that you have to have this impeachment process which relies on a level of objectivity within Congress, because, you know, you have to have the House impeach him, the Senate then vote to convict and remove. And I don't think the founding fathers ever thought that if there was a president who was, you know, completely impervious to sort of morals and the law and stuff, that that an entire political party would line up behind him. I think they always envisioned that if something like that happened, it would play out the way Watergate did, and eventually some sort of, you know, justice would be served. Obviously, Nixon was then pardoned by Ford, which was controversial at the time. It was a similar sort of noise to what the Biden campaign has been saying about, oh, we want to restore unity, so we don't want to pursue prosecutions and that sort of stuff, which, you know, could still happen once Trump leaves office, because he will leave office, and that's another thing that we need to emphasize.
Yeah, whether he admits it or not, he's out. And then lastly, I've heard people say that Raffensperger has hero status because he is standing up to Trump, and he knows full well that that will put him in the firing line against Trump, who is a scary person to have hate you, let's be honest. But does this make Raffensperger a hero? I mean, he's refusing to commit voter fraud, and he's not succumbing to threats, but he is, at the end of the day, doing his job and upholding democracy. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it is one of those things. In normal circumstances and objective circumstances, it should be the bare minimum. Ensure that an election is conducted freely and fairly and certify the results, which is what he's doing. In the current context, it looks heroic because, yeah, you've got this unique set of circumstances where a president is sort of unmoored from reality with a huge base of cult of personality that is following him down that rabbit hole and willing to violently threaten anyone who refuses to roll over and essentially just establish him as a dictator. That's the way we need to talk about it. Like this, if this, as I said earlier, if this was happening somewhere like Zimbabwe, we'd be talking about the attempted autocratic coup by the defeated incumbent. And that's what this is. And I mean, Raffensperger, fair play, it takes some stones to stand up, knowing that that's coming down the pike, knowing that you are going to have death threats, and that's unfortunately the environment that's been created. But it also just shows how low the bar is now. This is a party that has been willing to, half of it anyway, has been willing to line up behind an attempted subversion of American democracy.
Yeah. Well, listen, thank you for coming on. It's always really fun to speak to you.
Cheers, mate. Bye.
So that was Elliot there. I told you he didn't hold back, but he's my kind of very trusty American politics expert at this time. I think that was his third time on the podcast. But one thing that we didn't talk about actually was the fact that this phone call, this Trump tapes is what people are calling it on Twitter, hashtag Trump tapes, this couldn't have come out at a more dramatic time. Because, well, firstly, Biden's going to be inaugurated on the 20th of January, which is right around the corner. But kind of even more pressingly, Georgia's Senate seats are up for election on the 5th of January. Usually this wouldn't be that big a deal, but it massively is, because the Senate at the moment is at a tie, right? So if both of these Senate seats in Georgia are won by Democrats, it'll put the Senate at 50 Democrat seats and 50 Republican seats, and that'll be a total tie. What happens in that event? Well, the vice president becomes the deciding vote. So Kamala Harris, Joe Biden's soon-to-be vice president, will be the tie-breaking vote in that event. So basically, the Democrats will have control of the Senate. And for Biden, that would be unreal. He will be at the edge of his seat watching this Senate election thing in Georgia on the 5th of January, for sure. Because if the Democrats win the Senate, if they win a majority of the Senate, then Biden will have his pals controlling the Senate, a Democrat-run Senate. He'll have his pals controlling the House of Representatives, because we know already that that is a Democrat majority. And he'll be a Democrat in the White House. They'll be able to do whatever they like. He'll glide through the first couple of years of his presidency. But if the Republicans win one or both of these seats in Georgia, then the tie break goes to the Republicans. And that will make Joe Biden's life harder, because yes, he'll have a Democrat House of Representatives, and yes, he'll be a Democrat in the White House, but the Republicans will control the Senate. So yeah, you've got these two Republicans who already have the seats and they're just trying to be reelected in Georgia, David Perdue and Kelly Loeffler. Those are their names. And then you've got their Democrat challengers, John Ossoff and Raphael Warnock. I know it's a lot of names to throw at you, but they're the names, when you see them in the news in the coming days and weeks, that are going for these Senate seats. Biden's obviously desperate for Ossoff and Warnock to win, and the Republican Party are desperate for Perdue and Loeffler to keep their seats. And the Republicans only need one, whereas the Democrats need both, because then that would make it a tie and Kamala Harris would be the tiebreaker. And Trump acknowledges the importance of this moment on the call.
Because you have a big election coming up, and because of what you've done to the president, you know, the people of Georgia know that this was a scam. And because of what you've done to the president, a lot of people aren't going out to vote. And a lot of Republicans are going to vote negative because they hate what you did to the president. Okay? They hate it.
So that was Trump really saying, come on, Raffensperger, you've got to come out and support me and say that I won the election in Georgia, because otherwise Republicans aren't going to bother voting. Why would they? Why would they bother voting for the Republican Senate candidates when they think the whole thing is rigged anyway? So he's putting pressure, kind of massively unfair pressure, on Raffensperger, saying it's your fault if the two Democrats win those seats. That will be your fault because you didn't come out and support me. I mean, I do wonder if David Perdue and Kelly Loeffler, the two Republican senators that are trying to get re-elected in Georgia, I do wonder if they're looking at this thinking, God, Trump, will you shut up, man? Like, I wonder if they're listening to this tape and thinking, for Christ's sake, he's going to put all of our supporters off from coming out and voting, because all he's doing on this call for an hour is listing all the things that are rigged, or supposedly rigged, and corrupt about the American voting system. So I wonder if they're thinking, for fuck's sake, this is going to play right into the hands of the Democrats. Of all the times for this tape to come out, why did it have to come out the day before the Georgia Senate election? For God's sake, you know, I wonder if that's what they're thinking, or I wonder if they buy it all and they agree with him. Either way, it is going to be a massively eventful moment. Biden's entire presidency will be defined by these two little Senate seats in Georgia. It's so random, but that's just the way that it's turned out. So it's definitely worth watching. And if you want me to do a podcast on it or on the results and the inevitable fallout, I absolutely can do. Just get in touch with me on social media at @JuliaBell_X. Okay, a bit of a mad episode, just because I decided to do it really last minute, but I hope it helped you sort of navigate these absolutely insane Trump tapes. And like I say, there's a lot more to come in American politics in the coming week, so I will be here to guide you through it for sure. Lastly, before I go, I always like to give you a recommendation of the week. This week, I'm going to recommend The Point with Chris Cizilla. The Point, it's a CNN show, and it's really short. Each episode is like 5 to 10 minutes long, and Chris Cizilla is this really, he's kind of happy-go-lucky politics geek, and he talks you through whatever's the big story of the day, but in a really punchy, concise, and clear way. It is, if you like this podcast, this is for you, because it's that kind of language. So check it out, The Point with Chris Cizilla on CNN. Anyway, that is it for today. Thank you so much for listening. Follow me on Instagram and Twitter. The handle's the same, @JuliaBell_X. If you have questions for future episodes, my DMs are always open. Just pop me a message in there. I can't always reply, but I do really try to take note of what people want me to cover. If you want to support this podcast and you want to make sure it can keep going, then the best thing you can do is become a patron. I'll leave the information and the link in the episode description, but essentially all you do is click on there. You can buy me a coffee. That helps me keep this podcast going. And once you become a patron, you get exclusive access to loads of content that you cannot get unless you are one. So you get my own opinion pieces, you get updates, you get vlogs, you get behind the scenes of the podcast. All of it's on there, and it's a really nice little community. So do check that out if you find this podcast helpful, because that is truly the only way I can keep it going. And that is truly all I have to say. So thank you again for listening, and I will speak to you in the next episode. Okay, bye.